This particular bill ensures that ByteDance divests itself of the vast majority of the ownership of TikTok. Our intention is for TikTok to continue to operate, but not under the control of the Chinese Communist Party.
The House of Representatives sends a strong message to ByteDance: divest from TikTok or be banned in the USA. A new spectrum bill has been introduced that will reinstate FCC auction authority. And REC calls Rosenworcel's plan to expedite application handling for broadcasters carrying local programming as ambitious but impractical. Various non-coms had their own opinions on this idea. All that and more coming up on this extended FCC Today.
REC, FCC Today, Nietzsche Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Wireless Wednesday, March 13, 2024.
On this vote, the yeas are 352, the nays are 65. One present, two-thirds being in the affirmative. The rules are suspended, the bill is passed. And without the objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
In a showing of bipartisan support, the House of Representatives passed H.R. 7521, which calls on TikTok parent ByteDance to divest itself from the app or be blocked from doing business in the United States. Those supporting the bill do not consider this as a ban on TikTok, but instead to force ByteDance, which has strong ties to the Chinese Communist Party, to divest from the app because of the risk that the data of millions of Americans is being collected right now and made available to the CCP. Ohio Republican Bob Latta.
The CEO of TikTok appeared before the Energy and Commerce Committee and admitted to me during questioning that ByteDance has access to U.S. data. This should be an alarm to every TikTok user. There is no reason why the Chinese Communist Party should be in control of an app that can access information on a user's phone. This is not a ban, but provides communist-controlled ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, a choice. If ByteDance divests their ownership of TikTok, TikTok would be available to its U.S. users.
California Democrat Nancy Pelosi.
First of all, this is not a ban on TikTok. I'm a grandmother of teenagers. I understand the entertainment value, the educational value, the communication value, the business value for some business on this. This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner.
While there was a strong showing of bipartisan support for this bill, 15 Republicans and 50 Democrats voted against the legislation. Opposition to the bill ranged from the First Amendment to the need for wider controls on social media companies, including those in the United States. Kentucky Republican Thomas Massey.
Mr. Speaker, I know the sponsors of this bill are sincere in their concerns and in their effort to protect Americans. They've described the TikTok application as a Trojan horse, but there are some of us who feel that either intentionally or unintentionally, this legislation to ban TikTok is actually a Trojan horse. Some of us are concerned that there are First Amendment implications here. Americans have the right to view information. We don't need to be protected by the government from information. Some of us just don't want the president picking which apps we can put on our phones or which websites that we can visit. We don't think that's appropriate. We also think it's dangerous to give the president that kind of power, to give him the power to decide what Americans can see on their phones and their computers. To give him that sort of discretion, we also think is dangerous.
Where this legislation goes from here is unknown, as, according to CNN, there is currently no companion bill being worked on in the Senate. CNN also quotes a statement from TikTok that said that the process was secret and the bill was jammed through for one reason. It's a ban. TikTok stated that they're hopeful that the Senate will consider the facts, listen to their constituents, and realize the impact on the economy, 7 million small businesses, and the 170 million Americans who use the service. On March 11, Senate Commerce Committee Ranking Member Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, and Subcommittee on Communications, Media, and Broadband Ranking Member John Thune, Republican from South Dakota, introduced the Spectrum Pipeline Act of 2024. Under this proposed legislation, it will require the National Telecommunications and Information Administration to identify 2,500 megahertz of mid-band spectrum that can be reallocated from federal use to non-federal or shared use within the next 5 years, renews the FCC's auction authority, which expired a year ago, and requires the FCC to auction at least 1,250 megahertz of spectrum to full-power commercial wireless services, including 5G, within 6 years, requires the FCC to allocate 125 megahertz of additional spectrum for unlicensed services, provide for technology-neutral innovation in 1,125 megahertz of spectrum, ensure effective oversight by requiring the FCC and NTIA to submit to Congress annual progress reports, and removing limitations in the law that will allow federal agencies to purchase new state-of-the-art equipment using spectrum auction proceeds. Broadband providers AT&T and Verizon both issued statements in support of the legislation. Verizon said that a spectrum pipeline is needed to meet consumers' growing demand for bandwidth and fuel a better connected future, calling the bill a vital step in assuring U.S. global competitiveness, bringing consumer choice to the home broadband marketplace, and delivering on the promise to close the digital divide. Commissioner Symington applauds the proposed legislation, calling it a common-sense approach to quickly identify and allocate spectrum for commercial use, recognizing and addressing the fact that the U.S. faces a shortage of licensed mid-band spectrum. He said the range of bands identified in this bill and the emphasis on licensed spectrum is crucial to allowing the U.S. to keep its competitive edge against China as the world's technology leader. The proposed legislation would extend the FCC's auction authority until September 30, 2027, and pertains to various bands of federal spectrum between 1.3 and 13.2 gigahertz. It's the Michi. Thank you for joining us on FCC Today, the podcast where we bring the Daily Digest to life. Look for this podcast on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. Please visit the channel, like the video, and hit that notification dinger to be informed of updates. FCC Today is also available through major podcast providers and on the web at fcc.today. YouTube channel subscriptions are important to us, so please subscribe. Thank you for your support. On Monday, the comment period closed on MB Docket 24-14, which proposed to allow the Media Bureau to provide priority handling of certain types of broadcast applications if the applicant can certify that they have been providing a minimum level of local journalism or other programming. Opposition to the rulemaking came from several major non-commercial broadcasters, such as Educational Media Foundation, Relevant Radio, and Bible Broadcasting Network. EMF, which runs the national networks K-Love and Air One, stated that their programming does serve local communities, even though they are not based in those communities, and that they have won awards for its public service. They also state that the proposed policy, quote, risks running headlong into a First Amendment minefield. National Public Radio stated that because the policy is limited to certain assignment, transfer, and renewal applications, public radio stations would not be able to reap much benefit as these stations are not that frequently sold or traded like what happens in commercial radio. Media advocate Common Frequency, as well as Music First and Future of Music Coalitions, took the elimination of the main studio rule to task to the point of advocating for the return of that rule to help assure that local communities are represented on the radio. REC Networks tackled the issue from a more technical standpoint, calling the proposal ambitious but not practical, citing various sections of the Communications Act which provide minimum handling times for these types of broadcast applications. These minimums were put in place along with the public notice requirement in the wake of the rigged quiz show and payola scandals of the late 1950s. REC also noted how many assignment applications that do not have any issues or pleadings are already being handled fairly fast, with a large majority in less than 90 days. REC also notes that even giving expedites on assignment applications can raise the value of sale prices, further shutting out minorities and new entrants, and that the whole program is volatile because one informal objection, even if it contains zero merit, can completely torpedo the benefits being offered under the proposed policy change. Both REC and Common Frequency stated that if the commission wanted to support local radio, they should immediately consider REC Network's Simple 250 petition for rulemaking, RM11909. Common Frequency also endorsed REC's translator reform petition, RM11952. Sinclair Broadcasting, which recently closed in consolidated newsrooms, said the commission should be looking at more constructive steps, such as leveling the playing field between broadcasters and cable satellite providers on retransmission consent fees, accelerating the transition to ATSC3, as well as reforms in ownership and enforcement. Noticeably quiet from the proceeding was the National Association of Broadcasters. However, in a February ex parte presentation to the staff of Commissioner Gomez, they stated that many stations simply cannot afford to produce a wide array of local originated programming, and that establishing a carrot in the form of expedited handling will not address the fundamental challenges affecting broadcasters who would like to initiate or expand local program production. Reply comments on MB Docket 24-14 are due on April 8, 2024. The Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau has announced the comment dates for PS Docket 15-24 related to multilingual emergency alerting. Comments will be due by April 8, with reply comments due by May 6, 2024. And finally, a dinger no more. The video division has canceled a notice of apparent liability against the licensee of KPYX-TV San Francisco, California. On January 11, 2024, the video division issued the NAL in the amount of $3,000 based on a statement that the licensee did upload 6 issues lists, but they uploaded them into the wrong folder of the online public inspection file system and did not advise the division where they are located. Some of the missing files were found and re-uploaded in the proper place, and even though the station is still missing some quarterly reports, this was considered de minimis by division staff, and as a result, the dinger, or the NAL, was canceled.
FCC Today.
FCC Today, the podcast, is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. Please like the video and subscribe to the channel. It's also available on Podbean, TuneIn, Apple, iHeart, and other podcast providers. For up-to-the-minute action at the Media Bureau and throughout the agency, visit our website at fcc.today. REC Networks, always on at recnet.com for assistance. With LPFM full service and FM translators, contact REC Networks 202-621-2355. For now, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist, wishing you a good day from Riverton.
REC.